Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome, everyone, into the latest Packers podcast from JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com, brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. I am Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And, Tom, we are live from Lambeau Field after a 27-16 victory for the Packers over the visiting Denver Broncos.
Another, I would say, uninspired, but imperfect might be the better word. I guess it was inspiring for the defense, which came up with six sacks and pretty much laid waste to Joe Flacco on that Broncos offense. I thought they did a really nice job of pressuring. And, you know, the difference between the Broncos and the Packers is six sacks. Yep. Or you could look at it as 13 sacks versus zero sacks. They have Packers have 13 for the season, and Denver has zero, and the Packers are 3-0, and Broncos are 0-3. So I think Green Bay is a better team than Denver by a long shot, and they won a game they should have won. That's how I look at it. I think the real games are getting ready to start now. I think their preseason is over, and now they face Philadelphia, tough Philadelphia team on Thursday night, and then the Cowboys, and then that away schedule starts to creep in.
Yeah, so look, I'm not going to push aside the defensive effort here, but, they have earned the headlines. But you mentioned the preseason feel. So let's go with the starting quarterback and the star wide receiver. Post-game, Tom, Aaron Rodgers basically was asked, hey, does it kind of feel nice that you don't have to play that well and win? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really think he's wants those kinds of questions. And he says, no, I don't feel good about that. And he expects greatness. So let's start with the quarterback. Through three games, 96 rating. He's only averaging about 215 yards passing a game through three games now. Would be by far a career low since he was a starter. I would say, Tom, he did just enough. The deep ball on the free play to Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a couple other pickups and dump offs to Mercedes Lewis on a big gainer. But it was for the quarterback, right? I mean, it wasn't spectacular, yeah. But no turnovers, so,
He made enough plays to win in this case against, a bad Denver team. He really, the hard count was a big difference in the game. He got him on the one time, and he hit it big for a touchdown. And from that point, the defense kind of took over. Now, they did score again, but the defense kept setting them up. Their touchdown drives were 75, 5, and 37 yards. So you had the one good drive to start the game. Second drive, not so great. Third drive, they go 51 yards for a field goal. They can't punch it in. And their touchdown drive is 5 yards after picking it up on a fumble. So, the offense remains questionable. And I think the red flag this time was that Davante Adams only got the ball four targets. And Denver, Vic Fangio figured out a way to take him out of the game, kind of like Mike Zimmer did in the second half of the Vikings game. So that's the next thing now they have to deal with. Now, first game they couldn't run the ball. Then they showed they could run it a little bit against Minnesota. Then Minnesota took away, you know, their passing game in the second half. And now they got to figure out how to get their passing game going somehow.
Yeah, it's well, you mentioned Adams, and you know, he's feeling it a little bit. I mean, three straight games without a touchdown. The first time in his career that's the case, and a little
first time since 15.
15, yeah. I guess since becoming the guy, right? So, you know, look, guys like that want the ball.
That's a big deal.
And
I mean, they got you got to get him the ball. You have to find ways to get him the ball. And I always thought that was part of this is that you can scheme guys open,
right?
And they haven't been able to do that. Denver, it was really obvious. Chris Harris followed him around the field. They played off him in a zone coverage, you know, or soft coverage with a guy over the top. Adams estimated it was 80% of the time that he was doubled. And they basically gave him anything underneath. If he wanted to take something short underneath and then try to run with it, they were okay with doing that. They just weren't going to give him any big plays.
So did Marquez Valdes-Scantling do enough with the 40-yard touchdown? That was a good route. I mean, he beat the guy. I mean, he had several yards on him. And also, I mean, he had another big drop, which ended the drive. Allison had a drop. But it was Valdes-Scantling as the clear two. Four tight ends active. None of them, I mean, Mercedes Lewis made himself available for a big third down kind of scramble play safety valve, so I'll give him credit for that. Robert Tonyan kind of slowed up on a route that probably should have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
That was really a well-thrown ball. So, yeah, they're still kind of searching for that, too. Although I guess Valdes-Scantling from a week ago where it was a big drop and then and not being able to, you know, to get down in bounds, I guess, had a little bit of a rally.
Yeah, except that it's a third down. It's a hard count play,
right.
And he sees the guy jump, and all he's supposed to do is run.
Just
go, and that's exactly what he did. I don't see a lot of plays, you know, timed up, really good looking plays where they're hitting guys in stride. You know, Rodgers overthrew. Was it Allison?
Allison across the middle would have been a first down.
He was
down.
Wide open. That was a good route.
And that would have been a gain or two if it hit him sort of in stride.
Yeah, Tonyan was open on that deep route.
Yeah.
I do think that was more his fault. I'm not sure why he slowed down there, except that maybe the ball carried at the end. I don't know.
Yeah, there was one other throw to Tonyan. It was kind of a check down, but Rodgers kind of airmailed it into the Denver bench. That was earlier in the game.
That's right, yeah.
But you're right. So, I mean, passing game, and actually, you know what? So how do you view then the decision to run the ball with Aaron Jones, two rushing touchdowns in the red zone? The reason I bring that up is usually that's Davante Adams territory and or Jimmy Graham territory. And Jimmy, all credit to him for gutting it out, but he was clearly, they ran to his side a couple times. They split him out a few times, but he was never an option in those routes. So, I mean, probably the good decision to run it with Aaron Jones down in the red zone as opposed to trying to throw it.
Well, they scored.
Yeah.
They scored both times. And so you can't argue with scoring.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah, you got to feed Davante Adams and make him happy. But in that case, I don't have a problem with them not throwing it there. What is hurting them is that they're not, you know, they don't have enough clutch third down catches. I think they were, what, 2 of 8 on third down?
2 of 9.
2 of 9? That's not going to get it done.
No, they continue to really struggle on that down.
And I don't know. They go through this funk, and they went through it in the third and fourth quarter, where they had a couple drives that looked like either Rodgers and LaFleur were fighting over who was calling what, or I mean, that's what it looked like. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it looked like Rodgers was, okay, now I'm going to run some RPOs and I'm going to try to, you know, fake out the Bronco instead of just running the quick tempo offense. Maybe guys weren't getting open, or maybe the offense wasn't working and Rodgers decided to take it more into his own hands. But they had a couple of wide receiver screens that did nothing. You know, maybe they're just grinding through his offense. I don't know.
Right.
I think I do know. I think this is still a case of Rodgers. I still think there's parts, although both would deny it, there's parts of McCarthy's offense involved here where
I think so.
Rodgers is getting some of that control that McCarthy gave him, and they've put it into LaFleur's offense. And
I think they said that from the beginning, that they were going to look at the plays Aaron really liked or was successful at. I mean, you would imagine one on the same, but not necessarily, and then put that in, you know, as part of the coming, the meeting of the minds.
So, what is that equaled? It's equaled pretty mediocre offensive football so far. So LaFleur's got to figure out what he wants. Is he want to please Rodgers, or does he want to get this thing going? And that's a discussion that's going to be ongoing.
All right. Hey, because for as much as there was the blame Mike crowd, the quarterback changed a lot of plays, and the offense was pretty crappy the last few years anyway. Curious, Tom, again, going on that preseason sort of thread here, to the run game, you know, Matt LaFleur, you know, after last week, Aaron Jones touches the ball a ton, has a career day in a lot of ways, says, we gotta divide things up, and, well, what happens? Aaron Jones, 10 rushes, only 19 yards, probably a career low, 1.9 yards per rush.
Not like him.
No, and then Jamal Williams, though, gets 12 carries, nearly 5 yards a rush. And, Jamal Williams also, again, two targets, 27 yards in the pass game. Aaron Jones got one target. So one of those rare instances of a football coach going up there saying, we're going to spread it out and be balanced, and then actually doing the thing they said.
Yeah.
But it still wasn't that effective in terms of overall run game. I think 3.5 yards a carry.
No, it wasn't. This was a better day for Jamal Williams to run the ball. It was kind of a mutter's day.
Yeah, a little slicker surface.
And that's what he's going to be better at. Jones is going to be better on turf or on a nice slick surface where he can make some cuts. Not slick, but a surface where he can get good traction and cut. I don't think that was his day today. I also thought that alternating them on series, which is what they seem to be doing, doesn't help Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, to me, is like a rhythm type runner. You have to keep giving it to him, and eventually he'll break something. Whereas Jamal Williams, you keep giving it to him, he'll get four.
Right.
Maybe
get 10
a good
or
day
12,
is he gets 9 or 10. You know, what was his longest? 12, Aaron Jones is the kind of guy who might get 2, 3, and then you're waiting for that 30-yarder that he might break. So I think they have to rethink that.
Yeah. That was a little like last year, too, to a degree, with the way they went back and forth. And so, season-high 27 points, only 315 yards. We mentioned 2 for 9 on third down. I will say, and you are the coaches, they are going to look for small improvements, right? A small improvement from a week ago would be the fact that they got touchdown or a field goal when last week they turned it over, fourth and turnover on downs. So, early rhythm, 14 points on the first three possessions, looked good. So at least they were able to capitalize on some turnovers. Would you say, you opened up here by talking about the no sacks allowed. Rodgers did evade some pressure, threw some balls away, so, there was good protection. Quarterback did his part as well. But this is now 3 games for this offensive line where, quarterback was harried quite a bit in week 1. Do you think that line looks ready? Is that something where, you know, I mean, early on, they came out throwing the ball. There were some five wide sets. They trusted Blaga, Bakhtiari one-on-one with Chubb and Miller. Elton Jenkins, the rookie at left guard, he had one false start. But otherwise, there was one, there was an away, and Rodgers evaded that.
Oh, that was, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're looking, if you're a Packers fan or if you're Matt LaFleur, Nathaniel Hackett, are you saying, well, the line seems to have come together, let's just figure out, I don't know, what do you think about that front five at least?
I think they're fine. I think I watched Bakhtiari and Bulaga a fair amount, and I thought they handled Miller and Chubb really well. I mean, even those guys came in with no sacks, but it didn't mean they weren't getting close to the quarterback. A number of times that Rodgers got pressured, in my recollection, was off of bootlegs where the end just didn't bite on the bootleg, and he turns and there's a guy in his face and he's got to get rid of it. I remember Bulaga getting beat bad once. I don't remember Bakhtiari getting beat by Von Miller all that much. They dropped Von Miller into coverage more than he used to, which I don't understand. But anyway, I thought the line looked pretty good. I thought Elton Jenkins had some hiccups. The one, you know, where he should be looking for work and he was looking for a day off, you know, and let a guy come right at Rodgers, and Rodgers, I think he threw it away, maybe.
Might have, yeah.
Yeah, and so that could have been a big play. If he blocks that guy, Rodgers has all day, is outside the pocket and has all day to throw.
Yeah.
So, that was a rookie mistake. Otherwise, you know, there were a couple times they got blown up in the running game. They didn't run the ball great, as you alluded to, but I'm okay with the way that offensive line played.
So I guess if you're Matt LaFleur and you got a short week, Philadelphia coming to Lambeau, and that's a reeling team, two losses in a row, loss to Detroit, you know, they're going to want to get back on track as starting Thursday. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you're the Packers, that's something, right? You've got a healthy front five. Arguably, they got the guy at left guard that they wanted there from the beginning. And all you're hoping for is Aaron Rodgers to sort of click, right? I mean, I guess if you're the Packers, you got to feel it's not where you want to be, but it's something to build off of, right? It's not like the offensive line hasn't picked up the blocking scheme
Offensive line's the least of their problems, I think. I think the biggest problems they have are consistent running, no options other than Devontae Adams, and some kind of inconsistency in either how Rodgers and LaFleur see how things should be called, or RPOs, or whatever it is, how they're reading coverages. That part is just off right now, and that'll be an ongoing thing. Every week we're going to be sitting here going, okay, are they, you know, is this offense coming together or is it remaining, you know, disjointed because there's two guys with different visions of how it should look?
So we'll get you all for Eagles preview here in a few days, or a short day and a half, whatever the turnaround is. But you mentioned at the start, this last thought on the offense, Tom, post-game from Denver is – I mean, you mentioned the preseason. Is the preseason over in your view? Does this has, you know, on a week where they're not going to practice before the Eagles come in, you know, some tight ends where now we know essentially that position group is not anything to be part of this deal. I mean, or does it have to work Thursday, or is this defense in a spot where it's still going to have to carry them through the next 1 to 3, 4 games before maybe they go to Kansas City?
Yeah, it is. So I would say this game Thursday is the last of their preseason games. Only it's like the third preseason game. I mean, it's a it's a very tough game. Philadelphia is banged up. We'll need to see where they're at. But, you know, they, when they're at their best, they have a really good front four. They can put pressure on the quarterback. They can stop the run. They got a quarterback who's pretty good. They got some wide receivers, when healthy, that can stretch you. I think the biggest thing they have is Doug Peterson has this ability to come up with offensive schemes that throw you off balance, you know, with all kinds of motion, and they sort of maybe make you be a little bit basic. And this will be a good test. It'll be by far the best test Pettine's defense has had.
Yeah, and that's a great transition because you mentioned at the very top, six sacks, three turnovers, put the offense in a position to score points on a short field. You know, aside from two long drives to start the game where Denver went 4 or 5 on third down, they went 4 of their next 10 after that on third down. And actually, you know, there was one fourth down conversion from the one, which was a touchdown, but then another fourth down, Preston Smith came up with a sack. So 1 for 2 on those scenarios. Just another effort, right? We said this was an average offense at best. I mean, if they got, once the Packers managed to keep Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman from running wild and put the ball in Joe Flacco's hands, they were able to get Denver off the field.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this, that Mike Pettine's goal is not to get beat with big passing plays. He's going to give something up in the running game to stop big passing plays. And there were times where they would go into their dime package and Denver would run the ball.
Yeah.
And then there were times they'd go back into their base and they would run it and they'd be successful. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know what was going wrong on the defensive line, but they definitely found whatever weakness there is in that run defense, they found it. And I believe that other teams will begin to exploit that as well. The thing is, and this is, I believe, Pettine's entire theory, is that go ahead, run it, you know, but eventually you're going to have to pass it. And when you do, we're going to either pick it off, sack you, or cause something negative to happen. Yeah. And then things will change in our direction. And so I think that's how he kind of looks at it. I think that's why you have to, with his defense, you have to have an offense, because there's going to be times where they're going to give up long drives.
Yeah. Denver had two drives that were about 16 minutes worth of play time. Yeah.
Yeah, both 15 minutes of play time. Yeah. 15 play drives. Yeah. So, but, you know, in the meantime, he's expecting, you know, the offense to turn around and at least score, so he can continue to eventually either turn up the pressure or force you into third and tens, which is what eventually happened. Denver wound up with some bad down and distance, and then boom, they just attack. I mean, you can't hold off Za'Darius Smith forever. He's really an impressive player and key to this turnaround. Now, Preston Smith's been darn good too.
Yeah.
But everything seems to come off of Za'Darius Smith. So, you know, and then you saw Rashawn Gary get a sack. Fackrell should have had a sack today. They are no joke when it comes to rushing the passer. And that's an important thing to have.
Yeah, we haven't even – Kenny Clark hasn't – I don't think Kenny Clark's gotten to the quarterback since week one, right?
Probably not.
So, no. I mean, so, you know, you're talking about a guy who's probably one of the better interior rushers, you know, and so it's almost like the opposite of the offense in this way, Tom, where you have playmakers on defense. Darnell Savage Jr.'s first interception.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised it took him 3 games. Great athletic play. Jair Alexander rather than trying to tackle Noah Fant, just decided, I'm going to take this ball.
Yeah.
You know, and they were telling me in the locker room. So I asked, I said, you know, we've seen this since May with these guys, right? And Mike Pettine says, well, it's an emphasis. We didn't emphasize it last year, which seems weird to me, but whatever. And, you know, so I'm asking Kevin King, I'm like, how do you make that into something tangible? And he said, and I thought this was interesting, Tom, he's like, the last few years, when he was, you know, ready to break down, make a tackle or whatever, he's like, get the ball was not part of his computing process of where's my help, what move is this guy about to make, what angle do I need to take, what's down in distance, like that sort of code that happens through these guys' head in what, 0.4 of a second. Mm-hmm. Get the ball, he said, wasn't really part of that. And he's like, at this point it is, which again sounds so strange to say that wouldn't have been emphasized the last 3 years, for at least in his case, but mm-hmm. You know, he's like, but that's just how it's, that's what it is now. And you know, look, 8 turnovers in 3 games, we can say what we want about the kind of crappy quarterback play, but at the end of the day, it they did it right.
Yeah, how I see it is that, you know, if Kevin King was going for the ball today or Sunday night, then he needs to stop because he missed too many tackles.
Right.
Jair Alexander is special in that the ball is always in his radar. He is a magnet to the ball. So he goes for the ball if it's in your arms. He goes for the ball, you know, if it's not in your arms, if it's close to your arms. It's one of the reasons why he has a chance to be so good is because even when he's beat, he goes for the ball, and he gets it out of guys' arms.
Right.
The thing that happened against the Vikings was sort of an anomaly. You know, usually yeah. he's very aggressive to the ball. And I think this could have been a little bit of a homage to, or, you know, a compensation for what happened last week, which was, see ball, he's going to yeah. get it. And yeah. he did. You know, he's that type of player. I don't know if they have anybody. I think Savage might turn out to be that yeah. kind of player. But I don't know if they have anybody who's that aggressive, at least in tackling. Kevin King can go up and get a ball,
right.
but I don't know how good he's going to be at stripping a
right.
ball.
Right.
You know,
but I guess it's sort of always the voice of reason in the locker room, Tremont Williams, right, who has to take on the role of wise sage
mm-hmm.
coming
mm-hmm.
to the league in 07. And he said something interesting where he's like, well, first of all, you know, Wentz, Mahomes, Rivers, right now, Dak Prescott, all yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, A. But B, he said, you know, he was on teams that took the ball away but had a crappy defense. And without saying it, if people might forget, the 15-1 team, they were dead last in defense that year, number mm-hmm. 19 in scoring. They took the ball away, I think, 38 times. Great
yeah.
number. But what happened in crunch time?
Right.
37 points at
and
home.
And they didn't get enough. They didn't get to the quarterback.
Right.
Enough.
So I think that's at least where this current group, to your point, their issues in the run game notwithstanding, they are going to have to throw at some point. And right now, the Packers are able to make them pay. I guess the question will be, you know,
when they face better quarterbacks,
right.
what's going to happen?
Right.
And I believe that they're going to be able to put pressure on anybody. I think what happens is, let's say you're facing Dallas and you're facing a really good offensive line and you're not getting pressure. What happens then? Then can you create pressure, or can you count on your secondary to just be that good? And those will be answered as the games are played. I want to see what happens when Pettine gets in a game where naturally they're not getting a four-man rush, you know, they're just getting nothing. And what does he do? And, you know, we know, we've seen him where he is willing to, you know, call some pressures that will take chances. but he hasn't had to really do that. All of his pressures have been zone drops, you know, four guys coming out. Once in a while he sends six, but he's had the luxury of not having to send a ton of guys and leave areas open.
Yeah. So it worked out to the Packers' advantage, you know, 3-0, Tom. I guess the one area of the game we didn't mention, and I have to, you know, for all of you out there who like J.K. Scott, I think it's, you know, that 66-yard punt in the rain. Mm-hmm. again, another situation from his own 32, sets it up where Denver starts at their own 3, just like that Chicago game, yeah. You know, where your punter kind of makes a difference to a degree.
Why did that guy field it inside the 5?
I think he just kept running so far back, and he kind of freaked out, lost track of it, and just, you know, was just a...
That was a booming punt.
And Tony Brown got down there that forced a block in the back. I think there was a combination of things. And look, that was another key. The reason I bring it up, Tom, is because I think, you know, that was when the offense kind of took a dump again in the second half. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's 24-16. And it's a one-score game. And look, if you can flip the field like that in a one-score game, and that team's got to go 97 yards, that's a heck of a... And look, Denver was able to hit a 52-yard ball on a double move in the middle of the field,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't hurt because, A, Denver's starting at their own 3, and then Savage Jr. gets the interception to kind of end things there. So,
yeah.
But again, you know, third phase, Mason Crosby missed the field goal late, but he was perfect up to that point on the kicks that he needed to make.
Yeah, well, McManus put one off the post on a PAT going the same direction.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the wind was kind of weird there. We can't leave without talking about Vitaly having a 27-yard reception. The Colt hero has...
We may or may not have mentioned him being used in a similar scenario in the preview podcast.
Yeah, that part has not happened much, and he was a good receiver at Northwestern.
Caught over 100 balls. And at this point, after what we haven't seen out of the tight ends, again, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where they might he's not. Forgive me, folks, for not being able to pronounce the guy's name in San Francisco. The fullback there. I mean, he may not be able to be that big thumper lead blocker,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, in terms of just another option that can maybe win a route against a linebacker, he might be a guy they have to work in a little more.
Yeah,
as they continue to look for playmakers on offense.
Right. If they're not going to get anything on out of their tight ends, then maybe they do need to go to more I formation stuff. Or
use him as a tight end and then sort of offset.
Yeah, just offset fullback. And because it was really nice the way that play worked. He's a lead, looked like a lead play, and then he runs right by the linebacker for the guy can't run with him. So that was a really nicely designed play by LaFleur. They may have to pencil him in more. I don't know when are they going to give up on Jimmy Graham.
I thought this was the week. He missed practice 2 days with the groin injury. He has enough problems, you know, running around healthy anyway in a wet field. But they felt he was important, I guess, to run behind because they did that early and then split him wide. But he never. I mean, it was split
a zero factor.
Yeah.
Right now. You know, Rodgers keeps saying we got to throw him the ball. And that's true. They don't target him much, but you got to be open once in a while.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, for everything, whatever his issues may or may not be, he will not put the ball in jeopardy.
No.
And so, you know, I think lack of targets indicates not just potential, you know, rhythm or schematic issues. Mm-hmm. It also means you're probably not open in the quarterback's eyes.
Right.
Regardless of your size, wingspan, or history.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but, you know, 3-0, it hasn't been the prettiest thing, but you know that Matt LaFleur And the Packers are happy about that. Detroit won. They're 2-0-1. The Vikings won. They're 2-1. So you would think the Bears would win Monday night in Washington. So, I mean, 3-0 is nice, but it's not like they're running away just yet from anything.
No, 3-0, I'm sure, like we talked about that one week, there's got to be some kind of odds about making the playoffs. It's probably
they get better.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
But I do think this NFC North race is going to come down to the end. And, you know, the thing is, the one thing LaFleur's done is given them a chance.
Yep.
You know, it's a lot better than being 0-3 like Fangio.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be able to recover from that, I doubt. So he's got that going for him, and now the road just gets a little tougher.
Yeah. Well, so we will catch you guys again very soon, as we have a short week before the Eagles come to Lambeau Field on Thursday night.
Yep.
So, of course, we can do this because of our good friends over at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. We thank them very much for their support. We thank you very much for your support, for checking out this podcast. Of course, go to PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com, subscribe to both, download the app, put on the notifications, because you want all this information. All the good stuff we have post-game and, of course, during the week, including this podcast. So, for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you very soon. Have a good one.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.